Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And how do you ever become financially free if you don't do this? Replace your earned income with passively earned income. When your money works for you, you don't have to get up every day and go work for it. It will produce enough income for you to survive on. Now, it doesn't happen the first day you start doing this. You build up to it. And we talk about this all the time. But today, I'm going to chop around at the edges of this because I'm at that part of the year, beginning of the year, where I redefine my entire portfolio. I do this every year. I've done it since I was 35 years old. I retired at 34. Every year I look at it and go, okay, where is there dead equity? Money sitting in my developmental stages of my life that is being wasted. Where is that money and how can I get to that money? And then after I get to the money, how do I get that money invested and what should I invest it in? So that net, 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 the total amount of passive income coming out of my passive investments, of my investments, is larger each year. So when people come to visit me, go to the two-day workshop with me, one of the things I ask them is, how much total passive income do you have? And most people have none. In other words, there's no check in the mail every month. Some maybe have one little rent house. That might be good. Some might have a savings account or a money market account. That's passive income. But then I tell them to take their net worth, add up everything they're worth, and divide that annual passive income. And you know, 99% of the people earn less than 1% on their net worth. 99% of the people that I meet earn less than 1% on their net worth. Now, how do you expect to survive? Well, as I'm going through all this for myself, and it's very important that you do it for yourself, I did it for myself, it's important to understand that everybody else out there doesn't do it. And they're not going to help you do it because they don't do it themselves. So I got this advertisement. It's from a very large financial planning institution. I'm going to try not to use their name, although it's mixed in here all over the place, so I may crash on it somewhere. But I'm trying not to use it. Why? Because first, number one, it doesn't matter which one I'm talking about. They're all the same. And I want to go through and read their advertisement to you. Dell, why would you do that? You're just advertising them. Well, I'm not giving out a specific name, but I'm giving you what they say is the thing you should think. But I want you to hear it through my lens, right? So it starts out. It says, retirement goals, create a financial plan to help withstand market ups and downs. Well, there you go. Market ups and downs. They're already admitting in the very first paragraph that the stock market goes up and down. Heaven forbid you're in the stocks and the market decides to go down. The month after you retire, you lose what we used to call 401k is now a 201k. People lose on average anywhere from 30 to 40% when there's a stock drop. They say they're going to teach you how to not do that. Interesting. Next, we want to work with financial advisor who puts you first. Oh my gosh. There's an interesting concept. Put you first. Other than who? What does that statement even mean? Other than who? If I'm working with you, I'm working for you. Who am I putting in front of you? I don't know. It goes on and reads, Dear Mr. Walmsley, retirement isn't just a new stage of your life. It's also a new stage in your investment strategy. No, it's not. It's not at all different. My investments are in place, and they make me money, and I live off that. There's nothing that changed when I stopped working. It's all the same. I make more money from my real estate investments than I do from any other endeavor that I encounter, like, for instance, doing radio shows. I make a pittance compared. And you say, well, you make a pittance. Yeah, it's my company. Yeah. But I don't take very much profit from it. I do it more because I like to help people. However, my real estate, I don't talk about it that way. My real estate is my life. It is how I get, and it doesn't change the day if I stop doing radio shows. It won't change. It's the same. So that in itself, virtually overnight, the income you earn from your work ceases. and it's time to use your savings for your retired life. I'm reading this right out of their advertisement. So in other words, you've been saving and saving and saving. Now we're just going to start sucking your savings out to live on. And our goal, this is not in their writing, but this is what they're really saying is, we're going to try to set this thing up so that you die before you run out of money. Not that you'll have perpetual money for the rest of your life, your kids' life, and your grandkids' life. No, we're setting it up so you don't run out of money before you die. Goes on and says, you've probably never been retired before. And you might not consider all the financial complexities involved in managing your money in retirement and in today's environment. Our advisors will listen to you to build a plan that focuses on your needs. That is the most hogwashy stuff I've ever heard. Bottom line is, your needs is money. There's nothing. Don't define it any. You don't have any other needs than the need for money. How much money do you need? As much as you can possibly get to come to you on a regular, reoccurring basis, month after month after month, to live on, because your bills come month after month after month. So don't tell me we're going to have a different plan for a guy who's got a sick kid or a sick parent that they got to take care of. What do they need? They need money. How much money do they need? As much as they can get. Now we have somebody who has none of those problems. What do they need? They need money. How much do they need? As much as they can get. Doesn't make any sense. They bring their experience and powerful technology to work for you and run through thousands of what-if scenarios to create a plan to help withstand market volatility. Again, they're fighting that market volatility. I don't have any market volatility. My apartments, my commercial buildings, they don't have market volatility. They just have tenants. And tenants pay rent. And if we're the best product for the best price, we will be full. And we just have to maintain that theory that we're the best product at the best price. And it has to be more than a theory, I should say. It is a practice. If I maintain the practice of being the best product at the best price, then I will have customers and I will have money. I have people that run these businesses. I don't run them. So all we do is we make sure we have the right people and the right plan. Goes on and says, you're still investing for growth even when you withdraw money. A lot of people underestimate the amount of time they'll be retired, which could last as long as 35 to 40 years. They may be too conservative with their investment decisions. Too conservative. Here's how conservative I am. Rule one, don't lose money. Rule two, there's got to be cash flow, or I'm not going to be invested in that investment. If it doesn't pay me cash every month, I'm not there. Rule one, never lose money. Rule two, there's got to be cash flow. Rule three is basically go back to rule one. Don't lose money, right? Now, rule three really in my book of rules is you can't get rich slow. So what that means to me is every year I have to go back and look at what I have, look for the money I have to work with, and rearrange that money in a more functional and profitable manner, right? So that's what needs to be done. There's no other variances, no other things out there that make any difference. You need to take as much money as you can get your hands on, get it leveraged in a position to make you as much income on a passive, reoccurring basis as you can, and that's what you need to do. Really, all you should care about is how much money can I get, and do I have to do anything for it, and or the second step is what is the risk level? And they keep talking about where they're going to try to help you mitigate some of the risk. Well, how do they do that, to mitigate the risk? Well, maybe they put you into something like I'm trying to think what they would put you into to mitigate the risk. That there are things you can get into to mitigate risk, but then you have to ask yourself, what is the return on those investments? So as we went into this and I read it, I now got to the next part that just really blew me away. I mean, they couldn't tell me anything about what they were going to do. They're telling me they're going to give me a personalized plan. Well, the personalized plan doesn't mean anything. They should have a way to make money, and the way to make money is the way you make the most money. That's the plan. Right? So they don't have that. Then they go on and say, but wait, right? Not only do we have suitable asset allocation for you and cost-effective implementation. And I throw my hands back and go, cost-effective implementation. Why does it cost me anything to implement this stuff? It's my money. I invest it. Why would it cost me money? Well, now these guys are going to charge me. Are they going to charge me commissions for buying the product they want me to buy? Or are they getting paid a fee, you know, to help me go through all this stuff? There's something in there. Okay, whatever it is, The interesting thing, though, is when you buy real estate, in fact, even funnier than that, the education that you buy from me is and can be rolled up into the cost of the real estate, meaning that it becomes a part of the asset value of the property you purchased, meaning that you can depreciate it. You can write it off. It's a deductible expense called education expense or business startup expense. I've seen CPAs do it both ways. But the money you pay these financial planners is not deductible. It's just an expense because it doesn't produce assets. It produces a job for somebody, right? So they go on after they say they're going to give you cost-effective implementation, which I don't get. Rebalancing is needed. Now, that's actually a good thing. That's what I'm talking about doing at the beginning of each year is rebalancing. But all they're doing is rebalancing for what? Well, because that one over there lost a bunch of money. We need to get out of it and move over here. And then this one, it becomes like whack-a-mole. Where do you put your money? Whack-a-mole here, whack-a-mole there. One goes up, one goes down, boom, 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 all over the place. And you're disgusted when you look at your financial package. I remember I kept, for 40 years, I kept one of these accounts open because I had put a retirement account in it at one point. And I said, it's such a small amount of money I don't really need. I just want to watch what happens to it. So interestingly enough, I followed it for 40 years. And the reason I finally got out was the $2,000, which was the amount you could put in an IRA, became worth over 40 years, something like $80,000. I go, you know, that's really not that bad for somebody who didn't know anything, do anything, to have that. And then, boom, one day, I got a financial plan or statement and had gone down to $36,000. And I said, there it is. That's what I've been waiting to see. If I were going to retire right now, my $80,000 just went to $36,000. Now, if that was $800,000, it just went to $360,000. And in doing so, the same $2,000 I put in my first real estate deal, that real estate money now has grown to tens of millions and millions of dollars and hasn't gone away. Interesting. No great fall in my real estate value. Now, do some real estate deals go down? Yeah, when you pay too much. And the market recoups the value of that too much. And I've seen it happen. In fact, it happened here in 2020. One, two, and three people were paying too much for real estate. And then 24, the market took it back. Did it take any back from me? No. From any of the people that listened to me? No. How about from the people that didn't listen to me? Yes. Some people lost a lot of money because it took it back. Because they were paying way more than it was actually worth. And I was screaming at the top of my lungs, but nobody wanted to listen to it. But let's move on. This is interesting. Work with an advisor to stay on track, because now you need two additional things that most people won't give you. One, a spending strategy. And two, balancing growth with income. So we move over and read these advertisements of these particular people. What exactly is a spending strategy? That's their question. A spending strategy is similar to an investment strategy, but incorporates how and when you will withdraw money from your portfolio in a retirement. It should consider, all right, first of all, how and when you'll pull money. Don't you pull money every single month? I do. I get money every single month. And if I get more than I spend, which is definitely the case, I put it in a savings account, save it up to the next thing I go buy or the next thing I need. They're going to say market swings, adjusting your spending based on market volatility. So they call you up and say, you know what? The market just lost you 40%. Now, we were paying you 4% of what you had in our accounts because that's what we think your withdrawal number could be. But now that you've just lost 40%, we think you need to go down to 30% withdrawal or you're going to be short. You're going to wipe out your account. So, well, first of all, is it 3% of the original amount or is it 3% of the new lower amount? No, it's 3% of the new lower amount. So I had $1 million. And I was making 4%, that's $40,000 a year. Now I have lost 40%, I have $600,000 left, and you want me to take 3%, which is $18,000. You want me to drop from $40,000 a year to $18,000 a year in retirement funds? I don't know that I can do that. So, you know, there is a way to get around that. You could do annuities where you have a annuity, but what you basically do with an annuity is give away your money. You no longer own it. The life insurance company owns your money and they guarantee you a payment for it. And you can get lifetime payments for that, but you don't have the money. Whereas I get the payments from the real estate and I still own the real estate and I still have that asset if I want to take that asset out. But that market swing could wipe you out. It could wipe out your cash and investments or your spendable strategy, as they're talking about. Next is tax strategies, investing strategically to maximize after-tax returns. Well, how about paying no taxes at all on the income? That's what I do. Income from real estate investing done correctly is tax-free. Let's think on that till we come back for break. We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today I'm just losing my mind on this article. It's an advertisement I got from a financial planning institution. They got my name somehow because it's directly to me, but it is a marketing piece. And I've been reading it because I wanted you to see that this stuff just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't get you where you need to be. The last segment here says, income for life, combining all your sources of income, including your investments, to assure you have income you need throughout your retirement life. All your sources of income. One of the things you need to understand is that about 25 years ago, I got my first financial planner to join Lifestyles. And a guy came and he said, look, I can't do this stuff because my boss won't let me. I said, what do you mean you won't let you? He said, well, we sign this thing when we become, we get our license and we go to work for one of these financial institutions that we can't talk about nor invest in real estate. I said, you got to be kidding me. No, not. So why is that? And he goes, well, quite honestly, because the rates of return that you're getting and you're showing people how to obtain, they can't come close to. And they know that. And so they don't want it out there. Secondly, they don't sell it, so they don't get any money by it being talked about. And they want to sell you their product because they make commissions on their product. So we can't do it. I said, so you can't even invest? He goes, no, I can't. And I remember we talked about it for a while, and finally the guy said, well, I'm just not going to let them know what I'm doing, and I'm going to do it through somebody else or something. I don't know what he said, but somehow I got to go. But from that point on, I started having financial planners come in and tell me the same thing over and over and over again, yet they still kept coming. And I think eventually they kind of worked that out of their system because these guys just kept coming and coming and coming. They know they can make more money with real estate. So this last paragraph reads, retirement means different things to different people, but everyone needs money. Duh. That's what I've said for the last three segments. Where that money comes from and how you use it can be the key to successful retirement. Yeah, right? However, you define that for yourself. However you define that for yourself. So how do they help? Do they make you any more money? Do you have any more money? Is there any more cash flow? No. What they're going to do is tell you whatever you have is what you have, and you can take out some percentage of what you have. If you take out too much, you're going to go broke before you die, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm going to get off that and go a different direction here. Now, I'm going to talk about this realigning your portfolio. And people contact me all the time with emails and stuff, and they say, you know, how can you help me retire? And it's almost mind-boggling enough to cry over some of this stuff. I'm going to read you a couple of them. I've got two or three of them here. They almost all sound the same. I might be wasting your time to hear it so many times, but here's one. It says, we're members and we listen to your show. We're hoping you can provide us some advice on our current situation. We own two homes, primary and investment. The investment is owned free and clear and has been vacant for 3 years. Stop. Stop right there. I don't need to go any further. You've got an investment property that's owned free and clear and hasn't been rented for 3 years. What are you doing? You need my advice? Here's my free advice. You don't need to pay me for this. If you've got dead equity sitting there, do something with it. Sell it. Put the money in an investment of some type that pays money, right? If it's a good enough property to rent, if it's in good enough shape to rent, then rent it, right? So let's go on and see what they say. In 25, we plan to finish the outside of it so it's rentable. So they've owned it for 3 years, and now they're going to finish the outside so it's rentable. Why didn't they do that day one? They bought it, renovate it, rent it, all right? Inside has been done, and convert the freestanding garage into another unit. So they got big plans, but all that could have been done the very first year they did it. Where do you get the money for that? Well, that's what you come here and learn. You learn how to use hard money to get that stuff done. Because we often stay at our second home, we'll most likely keep the garage apartment for ourselves and Airbnb on occasion. I guess that must be the garage of the second house. It's very desirable area. Between two homes, we have a lot of equity, so we'll either get a HELOC or use savings for construction costs. We sold a condo, never buy a condo, in August and unfortunately didn't 1031 the exchange, so we're sitting on a sizable profit that will most likely be taxed this year. Any advice on how to avoid that? Yes, do a reverse 1031 exchange. That's what you do with that, if you can still do it. The next one is, so my partner's dilemma. She isn't the best of health, had cancer, some other things, foot surgery, so health insurance is a must. She works full-time in sales and has a good income, consequently 30% tax bracket, and health care, 401k, etc. We're both in our 60s. We'd love to retire within the next 2 years, but she doesn't think we can live off rental income and Social Security. All right, well, there we go. There's first problem is the belief system. You know, whatever amount of money she makes, if you replace it and it's replaced with tax-free income done the right way, then you can live off of it. You need insurance. Did you know you could buy insurance? Did you know at 60, you can, I don't know if 60 you can get Medicare, Medicaid or not Medicare, I'm not sure. But you can definitely get insurance, you can buy insurance. So you're getting insurance by working, but you're really paying for that insurance. It's coming out of your money, your compensation somehow. So you can go buy insurance, right? I understand that need. I had it when I retired, 34 years of age. I've had multiple times in my life where I almost died from things, and I've had insurance the whole time. We are debt-free, subject to our primary house payment and expenses. We've considered in lieu of several rentals finding an investment property, either commercial or multi-unit apartment complex. All of those work. You just have to figure out which one you like better, which and how much money, because each of those has an opportunity. There's an opportunity cost that one of them makes more money than the next one. But as that opportunity goes down, the ease of operation also goes down. A la commercial real estate, like I buy, because I have so much money, and I don't tell you that to impress you, but to impress upon you, at some point I have so much money, I don't need a very high rate of return on something to get enough money to live the way I want to live. But when I first started, single family houses were just the best thing ever. I mean, super rates of return, 100, 200% rates of return on the deals we were doing. And then the apartments became the same thing. We could do, with a lot of work and done correctly, we could make 100% return on apartments too. So the things that are more risky, take more work, have a higher rate of return. So that's a decision you will have to make. But how do we find one of the reasonable price point that won't require a hard money loan or a ton of work? You don't. You're going to have to use financing, whether it's hard financing. And by the way, when you get up to apartments, they don't even call it hard money. They just call it construction loans. Or, you know, loans to get you through the first year or two while you're turning it around. These short-term loans are commonplace to get these things done. She also doesn't want to incur debt and multiple mortgage payments when we are walking towards retirement. She wants no debt. So what you want to do, and this is the problem, they want to take and have no debt and use their net worth, asset net worth, and earn money with it through real estate. Well, here's the reality. When you don't have leverage on real estate, it earns about 5 or 6% return. If you put leverage on real estate, it can earn anywhere from 8 to 15 in cash flow and as much as 100% when you look at the other options that come along with it. But it's not going to be that way if you pay cash. Even the equity capture isn't going to be high when you pay cash. You need debt to be able to retire. I retired at 34 years of age, 2.5 years after starting my real estate investing, because I was able to replace my not-so-high-earned income with passive income. Now, remember, if you're paying taxes, you're paying 30% taxes, like this couple said they're paying 30% on taxes. If you earn $100,000 a year, you're really only taking home $70,000 a year. $70,000 a year divided by 12, $6,000 a month or so, is not that hard to replace. So after all this long discussion we just had in the last segment on this email, they said the very last paragraph, are we too old to start at this point? No. Because do you need money from this point? Yes. Are we too old to start buying, renting, and flipping, et cetera, just ride it out until we're 67? And in other words, after all that talk about what they wanted to do, what they had to work with, he's saying, you know what, maybe we'll just hold on until we're 67 and retire. At which point, we're pretty confident we could live comfortably on her Social Security and 401k investments and downsize, pay the capital gains on the stuff that we have, and enjoy our life. Well, there you go. They've just decided they're going to live off Social Security and their 401k income, even though they've come and asked for all this help. And then there's a question mark, like, should we? or is there really something else? Yes, exactly what I talk about all the time. There's something else. There is going out there and buying passive streams of income. And there's many different ways to do it. We talk about all the different ways all the time, so I'm not going to get deep into that right now. I just want to go into the next one of these things and say, I'm going to read another one here. In fact, where's the one I wanted to read? This one says, I will soon have retirement accounts rolling into one of my 401ks. I already have a ball in motion to have that money freed up. It'll probably be late the year when the money is available. Once available, I'll have 6 months to withdraw it. My concern is having the opportunity to get it into a position where I can take advantage of the tax advantage before the end of the year in which I withdraw it. I'm wondering if you should wait to make money available until the first of the year. How much runway would we need? Well, so this is a little bit older email. And I think I answered back to the guy when he wrote this to me. No, that was way back. That, hey, you're going to pay the taxes one way or another. So it's now the first of the year. You are going to have the best chance you have of writing some of it off if you buy some stuff now and have the rest of the year's depreciation to go against it. But you have to make sure that you buy it correctly, because you have to be able to buy something that's leveraged enough to have additional excess depreciation, more than just the amount that you need to cover the income produced by the thing you're buying. Here's another one, 65 years old. Let's see. Another one, 65 years old. Man, they all look almost identical. It's amazing how they can write these paragraphs and they almost sound the same, one right after the other. I'm listening to your show right now. I'm here in San Diego doing inspections. I'm 65 years old. Without going into details, before 3 years ago, I had zero cash reserves. Now, this is interesting. Read this. My only asset was my house. In the last 3 years, I've been able to put $350,000 into the stock market. You go, well, where the heck did he get the $350,000? I'm going to tell you in a second, because it's a good deal. Put another $130,000 into a SEP account, $100,000 into a Bitcoins, and $80,000 in cash. I have $200,000 cash available if I reverse mortgage my house. Oh, he hadn't done it yet. I have $200,000 cash available if I reverse mortgage my house. I want to talk about reverse mortgage. If you're over 65 years of age, and both the husband and the wife have to be over 65 years of age, you can go get a reverse mortgage where they will give you whatever percentage of the net worth of your house, give it to you in cash, and you will now have a mortgage, but you do not have payments. You can live in that house for the rest of your life and never make a payment. And then when you die, your kids can elect to either pay off the mortgage and take the house or sell the house to pay off the mortgage, whatever they want to do. But he can pull $200,000 out and make that money go to work for him. And even though it's incurring interest, he's not paying it. So that's a great thing. That's where I thought he got the $300,000, but that's not the case. My risk is great as I'm trying to make up for lost time, build a war chest, and will convert to more secure revenue stream. I have listened to you several times, wishing I have more money to invest in real estate. I could scrape together $780,000 to get started. Not sure how to get started. Not sure what kind of revenue stream would generate, and not sure how quickly I can do it. Boy, this is sad. I sure hope this guy finds us, because first thing I would do if I had the $780,000, I'd go out there and double it once. And when you double it, your net worth from 780 to whatever that would be, almost $1.5 million, whatever that would be. We now can earn cash flow on that $1.5 million. As leveraged correctly, you could earn 10 to 15% on $1.5 million, which would be $150,000 a year, and tax-free. And that's your start. And then every year we rearrange that and make it a little better, get a little more real estate invested. I mean, it's there. This guy should be retired right now. That's all there is to it. He just has to make that decision. Now, he's not going to be able to do what I'm talking about in San Diego. He's going to have to do it through a program like ours where you can invest in other states that you don't live in, or he's going to have to move to a state where he can do this. But man, there it is. Read the next one. It just blows my mind how many people have enough money to retire and they just won't do it. They don't know how to do it. My wife and I have been turned 65 next year and wondering if it's too late to get involved in your program. We live outside of Richmond, Virginia area. We're currently on a printing franchise. We own a printing franchise for about 30 years. I'm trying to scale back and take a hard look at my retirement. Unfortunately, we don't have any 401ks, but we do have $425,000 home that is paid in full. And a $300,000 house in Blue Ridge Parkway paid off. So they've got $725,000 racked up in equity of houses that earns them nothing. We're debt-free in our business, which is worth $800K. That's good. The $800K business should be able to produce you income after you retire by either selling it on a contract to where they pay you payments or somebody buying you out cash full, that taking that money and investing that. We also own three lots in hurricane-destroyed mobile home park in Fort Myers. There's three more. I'd just sell them and get rid of that, et cetera, et cetera. So there it is, guys. Another group of people that have enough money to retire if they just reorganized it and not go to that financial planner that says it won't work. So remember, it's not just the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.